And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. I'm your host, Mitch Pomp, co-host Dan Ford. How you doing, Dan?
Fantastic!
Hot damn, because we're in bowl season. First bowl is Saturday, Dan. How hyped are you?
You know, it's always exciting.
That's the Celebration Bowl.
Yep. We got a North Carolina school in this.
I think it's North Carolina A&T.
Yeah, Greensboro's finest.
Your boys. Yeah, North Carolina A&T versus Alcorn State.
North Carolina A&T, obviously one of the major schools involved in organizing the Greensboro sit-ins. So, historically important university.
Yeah, right here in Atlanta, Georgia, home of your MLS champions, the Atlanta United.
Were you there?
I was not there. I was at a bar watching the game because I had to go to an engagement party earlier that afternoon. And let me tell you, that bar was hyped.
It seems like they really have captured the imagination of Atlanta.
Yes. Atlanta, turns out we're not a bad sports city. We're a soccer town. Who knew?
It's also, soccer has found this in some other markets, where it's an easy, like, you moved here and this is your team.
Yeah.
Because you're unlikely to have an established MLS team before you move to Atlanta, right?
Yeah. So, and that's kind of been the big key to all success. But, I mean, the parade had, what, allegedly 200,000 people went to that parade. I mean, we were kind of starved.
I believe it.
No. And people can make fun, that's fine. That's what y'all do in your town. You don't like soccer. We like it here.
Also, it's what I support for Atlanta is that you have clearly made a bunch of like shitty West Coast cities who thought soccer was their thing very mad because I mean this is a real thing that some guy in Seattle who's a Sounders fan said. They try too hard to like appeal to like different audiences. It's like
they get so mad because it just is what it is. This is something I've learned, Dan. When you're a fan of a championship team, you don't really care what the haters say. Who cares?
It's like they're extremely mad that you try to get black people to like soccer and it works.
Yeah.
Because it should just be nothing but like 35 years. I can't remember who said this on Twitter, but in their mind, soccer should be nothing but a bunch of guys who are 35 with a really bad facial hair and like a tattoo of like a kitchen appliance on their arm.
Yes.
And then like, and then on the other arm, like a tattoo of like Epic Bacon Win.
Yeah. Or like some skinny fuck who was in like a fraternity or something, but didn't play like a real sport. But that's not it, because we all like it. And we're a very diverse crowd. So suck it, haters. Oh no, we don't play on a real field. Who cares? We'll probably host a World Cup game on that field. Will Seattle get nothing? Because you're a second-rate town, Seattle. Sorry. I think Atlanta's bigger than Seattle. So.
Well, I mean, yeah, Atlanta's like the fifth biggest city in America?
Like eighth.
Are you sure? Yeah, if you include like the whole metro area. Like, including the whole metro area.
I've looked this up a lot, but...
No, it's New York, L.A., and Chicago are all ahead of you. But then I think it's Houston and then Atlanta.
Let's see.
I know Houston's ahead of you. Houston's one of those places where people don't realize how huge it is.
It's New York, New Jersey. Jersey City. Two is Los Angeles, Long Beach, Anaheim. Three, Chicago, Naperville. Elgin, whatever. Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington. Houston, the Woodlands, and Sugarland. Washington, Arlington, Alexandria. Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm. Philly, Camden, Wilmington. Nine, Atlanta, Sandy Springs, Roswell. So ahead of Boston, ahead of Phoenix, ahead of San Francisco.
Boston's sneaky small, though. They just have like a lot of media based in Boston.
Yeah, Atlanta's got about 1 million more people than Boston. And about 300,000 less than...
How's Charlotte doing? Where's Charlotte at?
Below Seattle. 22.
All right.
Right behind St. Louis.
We're in the top 25. We'll pass.
Probably move up in the next census. That's
the thing. We'll pass St. Louis, too.
That's a 2017 estimate, like, so we don't really
We're coming know. For St. Louis.
Yeah. You're coming for a lot, because, I mean, who else has probably lost some people there? Baltimore?
Come on. If we can't eventually top Baltimore, then what are we doing?
You're not going to – Denver's going to jump to, like, top 15, though, I'd imagine.
Because of weed tourism?
Just a lot of all these, like, white people moving there.
Like, every dipshit slacker who's never figured out what to do with his life, like, the kind of guys who are, like, gonna start
they a move brewery, to Denver, yeah.
Who are gonna start a brewery, now they're all gonna try to, like, start a weed business.
And it's, like, way too late to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're fucked. It's art, you, yeah. If you wanted to do that,
your best
you should have
bet
done, like,
to,
5 years ago.
Yeah, your best bet is to start, like, a secondary business.
Like a brownie in business.
Yeah, or delivery, like Uber, but for weed.
That's actually a great idea.
It's already happening. Some companies already doing that. Actually, it's a great idea.
Oh, did you see the article about Uber being basically a giant scam on investors?
Yeah,
that's good. I'm glad to be vindicated by history.
Me too. Turns out I'm right.
I'm pretty sure you were wrong. I mean,
right. I'm don't listen.
I'm pretty sure when you said Uber was the future, it seems like it's not the future.
That's the Dan. That's the future of capitalism. It's no one making money. you see how long it took Amazon to make money?
Yeah, but Uber's never going to make money because they've got no barriers to anybody else.
Does Google make money?
They make a lot of money.
Do they?
Yeah.
Do they turn a profit?
They make like trillions of dollars.
Or do they turn a profit, though, or is that just revenue?
Yeah, Google's been turning a profit.
Amazon,
for,
like...
Amazon's been turning a profit for, like, 15 years.
No. Amazon didn't turn a profit until, like, 2 years ago.
Okay, that is true. Yeah. But their revenues kept going up and up and up and up and up.
And really, Amazon's only turned a profit because of the fucking recession hit, and just all these stores had to close.
And they started, like, their investors started saying, hey, it's finally time for you to cut back on some of the dumb shit you spend money on.
Yeah.
Because Amazon's thing was always, well, we are making a ton of money, so instead of having profits, let's just throw it at more innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hoping.
Well,
you know,
but I think, like, their web service has probably like, really made them the most money, I'd imagine. Like, don't they host everything?
I think their video is... No, didn't they buy up the MLB people?
MLB, maybe.
Like the people who did MLB Digital Media?
Maybe. I know, which is like a great firm. I just feel like their NFL stuff has been pretty top-notch. The streaming.
Yeah, I think they bought the company that ran, like MLB, when they first started MLB Network, it was like this amazing service that nobody else had ever come close to.
Yeah.
And then that company got spun off, and then I think like WWE and Amazon and like a couple of other big companies bought them, like bought pieces of them because
okay,
they were all using.
I know they made
software.
The WWE Network. Yeah. So they do a good job.
Yeah.
I'm not watching Thursday Night Football on Amazon right now, but I could. You can pick up the three announcers, Dan. You can do Joe and Troy, two ladies, or the British guys.
I think I'd love the British guys.
The British guys are fun, like, the first two times, and then it gets pretty old.
Because they don't know anything about football?
They're just like, oh, they do. But they just say, like, funny shit, like, tally-ho. Oh, that was a Wynwood right there, mate. Good day, you know, and stuff like that. So it's pretty exciting. Before we kind of get into our bowl previews here, anything else in the sports world that's grabbed your attention over the past week?
Well, you know, the big story, other than the upcoming bowl season, is the new coaching hires. We got another, you know, got a bunch of more coaches hired this week. I would say, what would you say is the biggest one, the biggest hiring of the week?
probably a small world thing, but I thought the tech one was big in the sense they made the right move.
Yeah, I would agree. They hired Jeff Collins, formerly defensive coordinator at Mississippi State, formerly defensive coordinator at Florida, formerly head coach at Temple. So he he basically took the Temple job because they were set up to be pretty good. He was taking over after Matt Rhule, who had done a very good job at Temple when Matt Rhule left to go to Baylor. So even though it was out of his area, and Temple's been pretty flexible with that stuff. Temple's been one of those programs where it's like, yeah, you don't necessarily have to be from like the state of Pennsylvania. They're just trying to hire the best coach they can get. And
because it doesn't matter.
You know, and Jeff Collins did a pretty bang up job there. He went, you know, he had 7 wins and 8 wins, and it's Temple. It's a hard job. He's got a lot of experience down south, though. He's got a lot of experience in that recruiting footprint, and he's a very creative guy.
I think that's the bigger thing. He's a better salesman than Paul Johnson was. And that's not a knock. Paul Johnson's a great football coach. Not the friendliest guy in the world, though. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. I would say so.
Some of this.
He's a little grumpy.
I think in terms of, like, I feel like at Tech, you got to know how to play politics better. Maybe this is a guy who can play politics while he's there.
I think the big issue with him is going to be, can he figure out a way to get boosters to give more money?
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to be good at recruiting, but the issue at Georgia Tech is less like, oh, we've got to get a guy who's more dynamic at bringing in players. It's more, can we get the school to like let us to let us do the things that all the other schools
that yeah, do. And maybe you're more willing to do that when it's someone who's going to look at you and shake your hand and smile instead of a guy who's going to tell you to fuck off in a gravelly voice. That's Paul Johnson. That's what he is. Old school guy.
See, Paul isn't Paul is not a gravel voice. Paul, have you ever heard Paul Johnson talk?
I just mean in general he's not a happy man.
He's an extremely soft-spoken guy. He always kind of talks like this. But then when he tells you to go fuck yourself like this, at that voice, if somebody gets real close to you and says, hey, mate, go fuck yourself, doesn't that scare you a little bit?
Yeah.
Doesn't that make you go,
maybe approachable.
Paul Johnson is not approachable. That is fair. Yeah.
So I think that could have been part of the issue. Like maybe it's people say, well, that's not fair. Well, that's the real world, fucker. People like you, you're going to get more stuff. They don't like you, it's going to be a lot harder. That's how it works. You know?
Yeah.
So I think a good hire, I thought, I don't know if we talk about this, Louisville, I thought nailed their hire.
Yep. Well, the issue with Louisville, they hired Scott Satterfield from Appalachian. Should have been Carolina's choice, so they stole him away from Carolina without Carolina really putting up much of a fight for him. The issue with him, though, is are Louisville boosters going to be patient enough with him to let him fix what Bobby Petrino has?
What I feel like there's not a guy though, because Brahm ain't coming now. That's kind of over.
Yeah, Brahm's staying at Purdue because he's looking at getting that USC job. You know, he's looking at bigger and better things than Purdue or Louisville.
Yeah, whatever that may be, it's at USC.
I think he's looking at USC or, you know, if Auburn, you know, Auburn people have reportedly already reached out to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually the rule of thumb is when you have a slow year of like jobs coming open, the next year it's always like a huge a bunch of people or a bunch of jobs come open. So I wouldn't be surprised if next year we have multiple big name programs coming open.
You know, we can look at
the Royals could always fall out for LSU too.
You know what he always could do too? You think he would jump to Kentucky?
No.
Is Stoops left?
No. That's not nearly as good a job.
as
Purdue? Like I think you're better off at Purdue than Indiana.
Purdue
Kentucky.
To Kentucky, maybe.
Because again, it's just what division
you're in. From a story standpoint, that's kind of fascinating, though.
So, what do we think about Louisville turning down Neil Brown because he was a Kentucky grad?
Does it matter? Does that shit really matter?
It did to Louisville.
I know, but like, just like a normal person. Like, what recruits go, like, I can't go there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to Western Kentucky because they got a Western Kentucky man, not a Kentucky. Like, who cares? They're going to go, like, where the shit's good.
It definitely mattered to Louisville, though.
Listen, if I'm Auburn, the Auburn heart, like an Alabama guy, why do I care if he's good?
I feel like that is a more modern take on things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, and Neil Brown wasn't just an ex-Kentucky guy. Like, he went there. He was an assistant coach there, and he had public comments about how nobody cares about Louisville in the state of Kentucky.
Yeah, maybe that you don't want.
But he was, you know, that was when he was like a young guy, so it's like kind of a crazy thing to hold against him. But, I mean, it definitely cost him that job.
Was there other major?
I guess the biggest one is the mess at Kansas State.
I thought they kind of nailed that hire, though.
Yeah, but do you know all the messy bullshit that happened around it?
No.
So what happened is they were all set to hire Seth Luttrell from North Texas. Like, the athletic director had made him an offer, and he had accepted it. Like, it was happening. And then all of a sudden, at the last minute, Snyder said they had to keep certain coaches on staff, which includes his son. And Seth Luttrell said, no, I'm not hiring. I'm going to hire my own coaches. Yes, thank you. And he went back and forth with the university. And then it was basically laid down as an ultimatum. You've got to keep certain coaches. And so he said, well, then I'm withdrawing then. And he backed out. And Neil Brown was also in the running for Kansas State. And then as soon as all the stuff happened with Seth Luttrell, he pulled his name out too for the same reasons. It's like, if I can't hire my own coaches, I'm not interested.
I don't think it's going to matter with the guy they got now.
Well, the have you heard like all the Kansas State people are just pissed off at having him? They hate him.
I've heard about that, but I don't get who Kansas, like, who do they think they're going to get?
Kansas State fans are pissed off. I think the guys at Podcast Ain't Played Nobody had a good line on this, where what's really driving all this is that they're terrified that if this doesn't work out, they're screwed because the Big 12 might be falling apart and you do not want to be bad at football in the next 5 years. You want to be good so that whatever, you want to be in the position West Virginia was, where, yeah, that's a terrible TV market, and it would have been easy for West Virginia to get left out, but they were really good when conference realignment was happening. Yeah. So they got to join another conference.
And if football is important, but they're good at other sports as well.
But, Kansas State, I think there's a lot of angst that this hire better work.
Or are they not a package deal with Kansas?
I don't know if Kansas sounds like they're going to get left out.
They have the basketball thing.
Yeah, basketball doesn't make a lot of money for conferences.
Mm.
Plus, like, the Big Ten doesn't really need basketball help, and that's the natural conference for Kansas and Kansas State. And the Big
Ten. I mean, you could plug Kansas in the pack.
I guess you could, but.
Aren't their academics good?
No. They're not.
I thought they had a pretty good school in Kansas.
Not really, no. It's basically just Nebraska. With, you know, a higher opinion of themselves. But, you know, they hired Chris Kleeman from North Dakota State. And, I mean, he's not the guy who built North Dakota State, but he's won 3 out of 4 national championships at the FCS level. And the other thing that Kansas State people have brought up is that their athletic director came from North Dakota State, and they felt like he didn't maybe search as hard as he could have. He just picked a North Dakota State guy, which is horseshit because I think there's Kansas State people who don't want to admit that they were going to hire Seth Luttrell. Like, this is a cognitive dissonance thing where they're just acting like the whole Seth Luttrell thing wasn't happening, because then they'd have to admit that their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Bill Snyder, screwed their program up by playing some dumb horseshit with his son, and they don't want to do that. So I think some of this is just that old thing of, like, fans not wanting to realize what their job actually is. And it's like Kansas State people are like, well, we're Kansas State. We've won a lot of games. And it's like, yeah, you're in Manhattan, Kansas, and literally no coach in the history of the sport has won games at your school other than the guy who just retired.
Yeah. And rather get it, I don't know, it sounds weird, I'd rather build some of that Dakota culture in Kansas State. And I kind of like the AD getting a guy from what he knows, where he was successful.
I mean, right now, the guy who should probably be coach of the year in FBS is the Buffalo coach. And he came from D3. Like, sometimes it's just, you know, sometimes if you're...
Yeah, well, I think at that level, too, like, you're not getting great recruits. It comes down to who's better at disciplining players, you know. Or not disciplining in the sense of, like, corporal punishment, but in the sense of, like, who's playing with discipline. You know, who's, like, really being coached up to just know where to be in the right place. That's what you need at Kansas State. I don't need a guy who can recruit. It's like the opposite of, like, the Les Miles thing. Like, Les Miles can recruit. That's nice. He can't recruit in Kansas. No one's going to Kansas to play football.
I will say the one thing that is maybe worrisome, like, the one thing where I go, okay, this may not work out, this North Dakota State, or this Chris Kleeman hire, is that North Dakota State, you think about it and you go, oh, there's no players in North Dakota. But North Dakota State, because they have won so much, they kind of do. If you're an FCS level player in the Midwest,
you go to
North Dakota State gives you an offer, you take it. So they do kind of get the cream of the crop level players for their level. And they've even started to get some, like, really, like, guys who could be a backup quarterback for a really good FBS
Carson
team
Wentz
because of
there.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And, you know,
changes the game. That's,
and it's the same system, more or less, that Wyoming runs, and they produce Josh Allen, so they kind of get a bump from that, too. So, yes. You know, it's one of those things where they kind of do have the best players for their level, which you won't be at Kansas State, obviously.
Yeah. So, but we'll see.
So that is the biggest red flag with the hire. But I mean, if you're Kansas State, are you really going to do better than a guy who's won like three national championships at the FCS level? Because here's the reality with Kansas State that their fans will not want to acknowledge. Your choice is an old assistant coach like Don Brown, who, he is experienced and he has definitely built a lot of great defenses in his day, but he's 60 years old and he's never been a head coach. Or Bud Foster from Virginia Tech, where it's the same thing. It's like he's an old assistant coach and maybe it'll work out, but you have no idea. Or you can go the retread route, like they could have hired a Les Miles type, but do you want to do that? Because everybody's made fun of Kansas for hiring Les Miles. Or you hire a young guy who hasn't proven anything. Or you hire a guy from FCS. In my opinion, based on the choices that they've got, I would think I'd take the guy from FCS. Because if you give me a choice between Chris Kleeman and, I mean, realistically, who is their best option? Like, their most proven best option for a head coach. It's probably Jim Levitt. And that guy got fired from his last head coaching job 15 years ago for assaulting a player. So what would you rather do?
Yeah. Is there a coach now we missed? Colorado, I think, got
one. They got Mel Tucker, defensive coordinator at Georgia. I think the bottom line with that is that nobody has any idea what any person from the Saban tree. You never have any idea what any of their assistant coaches are going to do because Saban never lets you talk to them, and Kirby Smart has carried that tradition on. So, like, literally nobody has any idea what their coaches are like.
Yeah. But I think Georgia defense has done a really good job.
It's hard to know what part's him, what part's Kirby.
Kirby, yeah.
You know, who can say? The word on him is that he's going to have a player first environment, and he basically got the job because he sold Colorado on the fact that he's going to do something to expand their recruiting footprint. Because Colorado, they had a blueprint in the, you know, in the 90s and the 2000s, which was LA, Texas. And then if somebody is like a high level recruit from the mountain time zone, get them. Well, that doesn't work quite as well because one, you've got Utah who are now an FBS program. So Utah can pick off. Like if there's a good player in like Wyoming, Utah is just as likely to get him as Colorado. Yeah. And they've lost Texas by not being in the Big 12. They've tried to continue recruiting Texas, but the quality Texas kids have no interest in going to Colorado while they're in the Pac-12. So they've got to do something. They've got to change their perception among high school kids in other parts of the world. And look, if I was them, I would not test. I would not drug test. Just sell kids on that. Yeah. Or say, look, we only drug test during the regular season. Whatever you do in the summer,
that might be the play.
That might be the play.
Or it might be, we're going to drug test, but if it's just weed, you're going to do like 50 laps.
Yeah. And like that's the weed limit is going to be like that crazy high, like the California State Athletic Commission limit, which Nick Diaz managed to go over because he literally showed up high to the arena. Like the only way for you to do it is that.
Yeah. That might be the move. But you want to get into some bowls?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's start with this one. The Celebration Bowl in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Atlanta, Georgia. North Carolina A&T, 7.5-point favorite versus Alcorn State.
Steve McNair.
Or nothing.
Isn't Steve McNair's brother the head coach?
Is he?
I believe he is.
Bob McNair, RIP.
I don't think that's his name.
That was the owner of the Texans.
Imagine
Saquon McNair.
Imagine the kind of person who's a fan of the Houston's dead owner. Fred McNair.
So is that who you're going? Are you going with your boys
here? Yeah, I'm going with A&T, obviously.
I'm going with A&T.
Greensboro.
I'm going to hop on you there.
Greensboro for life.
But then I'm going to look ahead.
Startay!
After that, we get the Cure Bowl at Camping World Stadium, Orlando, Florida. Tulane, 3.5-point favorite over UL Lafayette. Tulane's a team we liked.
This is probably going to be the sneaky best matchup of the early bowls because Tulane always refuses to schedule the other schools in the state of Louisiana. Because they, like, Tulane sort of sees themselves as, like, a step above. Like, they'll play LSU. Like, they still see themselves as LSU's true rival, even though LSU has not spent a single second thinking about Tulane in, like, 35 years.
Yeah.
But they still see themselves as LSU's real rival. And so I think they've played Louisiana Tech. But no, their administration, like Louisiana Tech, helped them out after Katrina, and then they still refused to schedule Louisiana Tech. That's right, because Louisiana Tech let them play in Shreveport, or Ruston, wherever Louisiana Tech is.
Don't they have a blue field as well?
Louisiana Tech or Tulane?
Yeah,
Tulane has that weird greenish blue. I think Louisiana Tech's played around with that kind of stuff.
They've done that before. Maybe they don't do it anymore.
But, you know, so this is an exciting matchup for people in the state of Louisiana who, I would say if you're, like, obviously LSU sucks up a lot of the air, but for all the schools underneath LSU, I would say Tulane's probably the most hated school in the state because it's full of Yankees and kids and rich kids from Texas who want to go party for 4 years, who then look down their nose at the entire rest of the state. And then Louisiana, like, Louisiana Lafayette, you know, they now insist you call them the University of Louisiana. They're kind of like the people's college. Like, if you didn't get into LSU, you go to the University of Louisiana. And they kind of see themselves as, like, a major college for the state. And I think they're going to be pumped up and ready to play Tulane. Give me Louisiana Lafayette.
Give me the Tulane because the bad guys always win.
That is true. It is America in 2018.
Mm-hmm. Next up, same day, 2:00. A lot of bowls on Saturday, Dan.
What's Saturday? What do you think?
The New Mexico Bowl at Dreamstyle Stadium in beautiful Albuquerque, New York. North Texas.
New York. Albuquerque, New York.
New York. Albuquerque, New Mexico. North Texas takes on Utah State. Utah State favored by 7.5. Give me Utah State.
You're going to have two interim coach. Well, no, give me North Texas because Utah State's going to have an interim.
Where'd their coach go?
Their coach went to Texas Tech.
That's right. They're going to win one despite him.
Now, I don't know if Gary Anderson's actually going to be coaching this game because he was already
on staff
as like a special assistant or something. And then he's gotten the head coaching job, so he might. I don't know how they're. I haven't heard how they're doing that, but give me North Texas. You know, when in doubt, take the team that actually has their coach.
Yeah. Next up, the Las Vegas Bowl. Fresno State takes on Arizona State. Fresno State's favored by 5. Give me Arizona State. Herm Edwards gets his first bowl win.
Jeff Tedford is going to get that blood all over his hands. Give me Fresno.
You can't stop Arizona State. Arizona State will be minus their best receiver in this game. He's smartly holding out.
Jeff Tedford is just going to be on a victory march throughout all the Pac-12.
These teams played earlier in the season.
Didn't Fresno win it?
Yeah, Fresno won.
Yeah, and now it's a bowl game.
The hardest thing to do in sports, beat a team twice.
Nope. The easiest thing in sports is to be a group of five team playing a power five team that didn't have a great season in a bowl game.
Arizona State had a great season for Arizona State.
I would not say that. Arizona State once came a Rose Bowl away from winning a national championship, sir.
Like 80 years ago.
Well, 1995? That's not that far ago.
Yeah, almost 30 years ago.
I was 7 years old.
Closer to 30.
I did turn 30 this year.
There you go.
Thanks for bumming me out.
Next up. You're welcome.
I'm sad.
Next up, speaking of being bummed out, the Camilla Bowl in beautiful at Crampton Bowl, Montgomery, Alabama. Georgia Southern takes on Eastern Michigan. Southern's favored by 3.
Yeah, give me Southern. I mean, come on. Eastern Michigan hasn't played triple option all year.
No, they're soft, and they're soft. You can't handle that south.
Yeah, they can't handle the heat, that southern humidity. Yeah.
In December. Give me Southern, too. And at 9:00 that day to cap us off, Middle Tennessee State takes on App State in the New Orleans Bowl at Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
What's the spread on this one?
New Orleans. Spread is App State by 7, just lost their coach.
Yeah, give me Middle Tennessee State. Same reason. I'm getting points, plus they got their coach. And they've had the same coach for like 20 years, it feels like. Rick Stockstill has been at Middle Tennessee State since I was like 4 years old.
Give me Middle Tennessee State as well. Let's see, 3 days later, UAB, Northern Illinois, in the Boca Raton Bowl at FAU Stadium in Boca Raton, Florida.
What's the spread?
It is UAB 2.5.
Give me UAB.
Give me UAB. I agree.
They're fighting for something.
Yeah. And that's to hoist the Boca Raton Championship Trophy.
They've got a reason to be there. Usually with bowl games, the main thing is to find the team that cares the most, huh? And it's always going to be UAB. They have a permanent chip on their shoulder for good reason.
Yeah. Next up, the Frisco Bowl in Frisco, Texas.
Home of the FCS National Championship.
San Diego State in Ohio. Ohio favored by 3.
San Diego State? How did they end up at that shitty bowl?
Not even favored to win.
Against Ohio?
Versus Ohio.
Yeah, give me San Diego.
MAC champion Ohio?
Yeah, give me San Diego State. Come on.
Give me Ohio, because I don't know anything about them, but they're favored.
Here's what you should know about Ohio. It is where Frank Solich has been ever since Nebraska fired him. Like 15, 20 years ago now.
He just keeps winning. The Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa, Florida. Marshall versus South Florida. South Florida favored. I'm sorry. Marshall favored by 3. Give me Marshall. Even though USF is basically just playing at home here.
Give me USF.
They're so undisciplined. I expect this is going to be another disappointment, very disappointing season for the Bulls.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep going with this, Dan. We originally kind of planned to cut this off here. Let's just go up to Christmas Day.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah. In case we have something to do next week or something. The Bahamas Bowl. Florida International versus Toledo. Toledo favored by 5.5. Give me FIU, baby.
Give me Butch Davis, because here's why, okay? This is probably the toughest game to be a coach for. Like, you really want to make sure you've got a good coach for this game, because there's no way any of your guys are going to really give a shit about being here at the fucking, like, the Bahamas Bowl is going to be, like, your first.
The Bahamas Bowl, too, that's where, like, the bowl game's, like, the least fun part of your trip. Right? Like, aren't you more excited to be at the beach?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm going with FIU, though. You know why? Because they're used to being around the beach. This is their home environment.
I just think Butch Davis is, like, he's coached in national, like, he's coached these in major bowl games. He's been at national
championships. The thing is, these kids in Toledo, they've never seen a beach before. They're not going to know what to do. They're going to be swimming all night. Sun's out. They're not used to that.
Yeah, they're not used to ever seeing the sun. We all know in Ohio, there is no such thing as warm.
You never see
it's
the sun.
Basically, it's Alaska. What?
Yeah.
It's that one city in Alaska where you go like 3 months without seeing.
Yeah, but it's just that all the time. They're going to be confused. What is the sun thing? What's going on? FIU is going to be like, we're used to this. Like, everyone's going to have a sunburn for Toledo. That's going to hurt them. That's my end.
Have you ever seen somebody from the Midwest be out in the sun for more than like 20 minutes?
Yeah, you know, they die.
They get burns that don't seem natural. Like, it doesn't seem like it's possible to be that burned.
For that reason, I'm going with FIU. I don't need a football reason. This is a human reason right here. This is color analysis. Literally. Look at the colors of their skin. One will be redder. And that one's losing. Next up, Dan, the Potato Bowl. In beautiful Boise, Idaho. Western Michigan takes on BYU. BYU favored by 12. Kind of a disappointing year for BYU.
Was it? Because it felt like they did way better. Like, they came into the year as like, okay, if they don't have a winning season, they're going to get fired. Like, he's going to get fired.
Yeah, they had the big win over Wisconsin, which like didn't mean that much, but kind of maybe did for BYU.
It turned out Wisconsin was kind of a dud.
But, like, BYU must be in the Holiday Bowl, right? Like,
sure, but I think, considering how bad last year was for them, I think making a bowl game, they're happy with their situation.
Yeah. And who's their coach?
Kalani Sitake.
Okay. I always get him confused with the Navy guy.
Ken Niumatalolo.
Yeah. Give me Western Michigan. This is their environment. Potatoes everywhere, just like Western Michigan. They're going to win this one.
I feel like you're not really aware of how many Mormons live in the state of Idaho.
I don't even believe there really is a state of Idaho. This is probably all filmed on a green screen somewhere.
The fun fact, Idaho has the highest percentage of Mormons living in their state than any other state, more than even Utah.
Wow.
Part of that is because...
Makes sense, though. Because I think, like, Salt Lake City being kind of a cool town, kind of is going to bring that number down.
You're also, it just has more people. Utah just has more people than Idaho.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah.
But a higher percentage of Idaho...
Okay, you know what? Give me the BYU Mormon magic going on in Idaho.
Yeah. They're going to drink their pickle juice instead of Gatorade, which I don't know if they still do.
They do.
That was something they did under Bronco Mendenhall, because apparently pickle juice is a good... hydration thing that the
That
the Mormons, the actual Mormons, when they were moving to to what do you call it?
Utah.
You know. They drank pickle juice on the walk.
All right, Dan. How about the bowl that no one wanted to go to? The Birmingham Bowl. Memphis. Wake Forest. Memphis favored by 4. But they just lost their offensive coordinator.
Yeah, they lost some other coaches off their staff as well. But, yeah, BYU. Memphis is kind of slumming it. I think they expected to be in a bigger deal bowl than this. And I think Wake Forest is just happy to be in a bowl, though, because they've been sort of
Well, is anyone happy to go to Birmingham Bowl?
I've never been to Birmingham. I'm sure if I went once, I would think this is okay. But then again, I have a high allegiance to the city of Memphis, so I'd probably think they're bullshit. Mm-hmm. So, fuck Birmingham.
So you taking it?
Give me Wake. I think they're the team that's going to be more interested to be there.
I'll take Wake, your boys. Wake Forest. The team you predicted to win the national championship, I believe.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. How about this one? December 22nd, 3:30, the Armed Forces Bowl. Fort Worth, Texas. Houston and Army. Army favored by 3.
Army's going to kick their ass. There's no way Houston.
Did Army lose on Saturday?
No, they beat Navy. They did lose their defensive coordinator, though, who's going to UNC.
I don't matter. Give me Army. Houston sucks.
Yeah, I just don't think Houston's going to be excited for this bowl game.
Yeah. If you're Houston, you got to go to Dallas. Who cares?
And I just think Houston as a culture, they think of themselves as we're going to be competing to go to the Fiesta Bowl or the Sugar Bowl or the Cotton, you know. We're going to compete and get that G5 spot. And them being in, the Armed Forces Bowl, I don't think they care too much.
Nah. And the Army. When's the last time the Army lost anything, Dan? Don't look at recent history.
I was about to say, have you been to Afghanistan lately?
When has the Army ever lost anything in Dallas? That's where they killed JFK.
Yep, they are. The Army is undefeated.
Mm-hmm. That's how we won Mexico. Or won Texas, sorry, from Mexico. Next up, same day at 7:00, the Dollar General Bowl at Ladd Peoples Stadium in beautiful Mobile, Alabama, Buffalo and Troy. Buffalo favored by 2, coming off a pretty disappointing MAC championship game where they fucking blew it.
This feels like a major culture clash for Buffalo to be in lower Alabama, which is obviously that's Troy's world.
I think Mobile is dome.
What?
Is Mobile a dome?
No.
It's not a dome stadium?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, no, yeah, for fact, 100%. Mm-hmm. That's where South Alabama plays.
Oh, okay.
It used to be I think that's where they used to have the state championships in Alabama for high school, isn't it?
Maybe. I don't. Now they have them what, in Hoop? No, they have it in Auburn. I think.
Because I think that stadium, before South Alabama had a football team, it was just a really big, huge, fancy-ass high school stadium.
Okay. I thought they had a dome for baseball and shit, too. Because it rains a lot there. The Mobile Dome? Maybe I'm.
It's definitely not a dome.
The dome? Well, we'll see. We'll find out December 22nd if it's in a dome or
we
not.
Can, that's. I can tell you this now. We do not need to wait this long.
Nope. We'll find out. We'll find out in 2 weeks, Dan. And that's my prediction. It'll be if it's not in a dome, give me Troy. If it's in a dome, give me Buffalo.
Give me Troy either way. Especially since I know it's outdoor.
Next up, that same night, the Hawaii Bowl.
The best bowl.
No, that's not the best bowl. Best bowl is the Belk Bowl. Louisiana Tech and Hawaii. Hawaii favored by 1.
Give me Hawaii. They come back to their ancestral home, the Hawaii Bowl.
Yeah. Our boys. Hawaii. will get the big win here.
Exactly. No doubt in my mind.
And that's the last bowl game before Christmas Day. Day after Christmas Day, and though, First Responders Bowl. You don't get much bigger.
The First Responders Bowl.
Yes. The Quick Lane Bowl and the Cheez-It Bowl to cap off the night.
Cheez-It seems like a much bigger sponsor than whoever the First Responders Bowl is.
First Responders. Quick Lane.
That just feels like it's the Cop Bowl. But they didn't have the guts to say Cop Bowl.
The Blue Lives Matter Bowl. The Cheez-It Bowl, though, is in a baseball stadium. So that'll be wild. The kids love that. So, Dan, which of these bowl games are you most excited or looking forward to?
I think I'm looking forward to, Louisiana Lafayette Tulane. That's probably the bloodthirstiest early bowl. But I'm really looking forward to Army just sucking Houston down into their fucking pit of sadness and, like, cut block triple option hell. And then Houston going into next year with, like, Major Applewhite on the hot seat.
I'm kind of intrigued by Georgia Southern's. Didn't Eastern Michigan have a pretty good year?
They did, but, again, are they going to be ready to play triple option?
Well, they've got a month.
They don't have a month. They got, like, a week.
Well, they've had a few weeks.
Bowl game wasn't announced a month ago.
It was announced, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, but they never play any triple option teams, so what do they have to get ready with?
Why is there not a triple option team in the MAC?
That's a great question, because the MAC, like, what's the big thing that everybody makes fun of about the MAC? It's a bunch of programs that are basically all the same, and they rise and fall based on who lucked into a quarterback. It seems like the easiest way to differentiate yourself as a MAC program would be, we're going to be the option one.
Okay, Dan, I can confirm Lad Pet People Stadium is not a dome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Did they not have a dome?
No. Why would you have a dome for a pissant stadium in Lower Alabama?
I don't seem like a thing everyone was doing like in the 70s, though, right? Maybe just some developer came by, scanned them, and they had a dome. Makes sense to me. When I Google Dome, though, it says the Gulf Coast Explorium Science Center. Maybe they did use, maybe I'm right and they had a dome.
No.
Why does Syracuse have a dome? Why does New
because
Orleans?
Because Syracuse has a dome because it's the middle of the fucking winter all the time.
Why does New Orleans?
So they could host the Super Bowl?
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Because
maybe that was Mobile's dream.
Because everybody wanted to be in New Orleans for a Super Bowl, but then the first year they went there, it was still at Tulane Stadium, and it rained nonstop for like 3 days before the game, and it was a miserable, cold experience for everybody involved.
Maybe Mobile needs to build a dome. That's the new mission of this podcast. Why not? Because I want to be right.
What are you going to do in Mobile?
I can go back and go out of vision.
Like, what on earth would Mobile... Like, Mobile doesn't have a major college. It doesn't have a major pro team.
How dare you, Dan?
I'm shitting all over South Alabama, I know.
Let me Google Mobile, Alabama. Hey, Dan. This is a C. Oh, that's just the stadium, excuse me.
Most famous... citizen of Mobile, Alabama. Go. Who is the most Mobile, Alabama athlete?
It's the
time?
Third most populous city in Alabama. How dare
you? Yippee-ki-yay. But what is the...
It's the largest municipality on the Gulf Coast between New Orleans and St. Petersburg.
Who is Mobile's greatest athlete?
Oh, shit. They do have some... Hank Aaron.
Oh, I didn't know he's from Mobile. But that's what makes what I'm about to say even more racist. Because it's A.J. McCarron. Who has a map of Mobile tattooed on his back.
See?
With a star in his
own house.
I bet he
would be behind my dome effort.
Sure. Because he's going to need a job in a year or two. So, like, putting him in charge of the building.
They have a port. Um, German technology conglomerate ThyssenKrupp broke ground a $4.65 billion processing facility. It's a billion-dollar town, Dan.
Hmm.
You know who their fourth largest employer is?
Give it to me.
Walmart.
Yep.
They must have a corporate or shipping center there. I probably do have a shipping center, actually. That's what I'd imagine, actually. Their unemployment rate? As of 2013, was
7.5.
How about that, Dan? You're shitting on a billion-dollar town.
I'm definitely shitting on a billion-dollar town.
Blah, 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 blah. They don't even have a notable people. Oh, there we go. No. Nope. A list of people for Mobile. Here we go, Dan. Ooh. Oh, Tim Cook's for Mobile. You ever heard of him, Dan?
Yeah, that turncoat. Right, that turncoat. Doing business with the Department of Justice. Or whatever it is. Mm.
Let's see. Religious. There we go. Athletic. Hank Aaron. I was right. That's the important thing. DeMarcus Cousins, also from Mobile. Nick Fairley. Actually, a lot of good athletes. Bob Holly. There's your greatest athlete from Mobile, Alabama, Dan. Hardcore Bob Holly.
So that is the nail in the coffin of Mobile, right?
No, I think I've found a group of people who could invest money to get this dome built. That's what I found. I got one of the richest men in America, Bob Holly, who's got to be a billionaire at this point, Marcus Cousins, who's about to make a lot of money, and Hank Aaron, who's probably rich. So bam, we're getting our dome. The Mobile Dome.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that'd be a tremendous waste of local resources, which... I'm sure being a city in Alabama, they could use to, like, I don't know, build a school, which I doubt they have many of.
No, they have two colleges there.
Not sure.
And what if a hurricane? You're going to want a dome if a hurricane hits.
Why?
Because people can live there, like in New Orleans. That went well.
Hmm. I'm not sure.
I feel like I'm onto something here, and you're doubting me, Dan, and I'm pretty disappointed. That's all I'm saying. I think this is our chance. Like, we can the Power Hour Mobile Superdome.
Yeah, I don't agree with any of this.
I'm gonna get Hank Aaron on the phone.
The Hank Aaron Dome.
The Hank Aaron Dome. Lots of them. You know, we insulted Mobile, damn. There's a lot. You know who else is from Mobile? T. Martin.
Tennessee great.
Yes. Tennessee legend. The man who could do what Peyton Manning couldn't. Willie McCovey. Satchel Paige. Jake Peed. My lord. What's in the water at Mobile? Wow. This is good radio.
It definitely is. It definitely is.
We're learning about maybe this is what we do in the off season now, Dan. We just Wikipedia a town in Alabama and see if we can get a dome built there. It's a new mission of this podcast. Before you're ready to go, anything else that jumped out in the sports world? This weekend. This past week.
Well, it looks like the Phoenix Suns are threatening to move, which feels like a big deal.
Yeah.
Because...
you think that happens?
Do you? Okay.
Or is that just leverage?
Who? Now, you know, it's the Donald Sterling Memorial Worst Owner in the NBA Award. We've really got three contenders, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got James Dolan. Of the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
We've got Jerry Reinsdorf of the Chicago Bulls, who, that's, you know, he did, he was the owner when they won six titles, but he has made damn sure that
they're looking more and more like, they just got really lucky.
It's looking more and more like there's absolutely no way that they'll ever get back to anything remotely like that because he just refuses to spend any money.
Or
Robert Sarver of the Phoenix Suns.
I mean, I gotta say that out of those three, I think the Suns are the worst in recent memory, right?
It's, I guess
Steve Nash, I mean, that was 10 years ago.
I mean, and it's also that Robert Sarver's such a big reason why that team fell apart.
Yeah. You know, like, even down to, like, before they even did anything, not keeping Joe Johnson.
Like, he's the reason they didn't keep Joe Johnson, because he didn't want to pay a luxury tax. He's the reason they let Sean Marion go, because he didn't want to pay a luxury tax. Amari Stoudemire, a little bit more understandable, because he tore his knee up, and it was like, you know, that was actually a smart play. But,
yeah.
I mean, if that team has Joe Johnson, they win the finals that year. I believe that 100%. And it's just he nickel and dimed that team because he's a cheapskate, you know.
So
and then here they are.
The Seattle won him.
And now he's sitting here threatening to leave Phoenix after he single-handedly, like, I mean, the other thing, and Bill Simmons, not everybody likes Bill Simmons, but God bless him for always bringing this up. The Phoenix Suns sold their first-round draft pick, like straight up sold it, like not in exchange. Just traded their first round draft pick for cash during that Steve Nash era, like 5 years in a row. Cause he just didn't want to, like, he was just like, I'm not paying for a first round draft pick minimum, in a minimum salary. Fuck that. Just give me some cash for it.
Yeah. And how's that going to work in Seattle, which I imagine is like a harder market to make money in? Like, you're going to spend a little bit more money in Seattle.
Well, Seattle should be a boondog. Like, it should be like a boon for anybody who gets it because, like, the Sonics are going to be super excited. Like, they're going to be excited to get the Sonics back.
Well, will they be the Sonics again?
Of course they will. You're not going to be the Seattle Suns.
The Seattle Suns.
Like, that's not going to happen.
Because he doesn't want to, like, change the letterheads or something.
Because he's just so, like, that is the most, like, dumb rich guy who's just so cheap that he just, all my letterhead says Suns. Sorry, we're the Seattle Suns now.
We're the Seattle Suns, which is what Seattle's known for, is its sunny days.
Yeah. And by sunny days, you mean Tammy Sitch shows up and, you know, shows her cooch on Main Street.
Do you think that actually happens?
No, I don't. Because
I don't think the NBA wants to leave Phoenix. Like, that's a Latin market in theory. It's kind of what you want in terms of Hispanic.
And Arizona just keeps getting bigger. And the Phoenix market keeps getting bigger. And
yeah, and like that's the market I think you want. And it's just like that Houston, San Antonio are like your Hispanic team.
And his basic reason is that, well, they're not going to give me all this free money to build an arena. And it's like, brother, nobody's giving that anymore. That's over.
Yeah.
Those days are over of like teams just of like an owner just going to a city and getting 100% of a arena built for him.
Yeah.
You're not going to get that anymore.
There's still essentially a brand new one in Kansas City that hasn't been used.
Yeah, but then you got to be in Kansas City. So,
yeah.
Does anybody really think Kansas City can sustain three major? Does anybody think Kansas City can
didn't
sustain
have another,
baseball and basketball? Like usually for markets Kansas like City that, you only do one or the other.
Yeah, like I think the better idea. I think like Vegas, Louisville. Or, like, the only other two besides Seattle I'd look at.
Well, the real answer is to do what SB Nation's Tom Ziller suggested, which is, how about just force Robert Sarver to sell the team and keep him in Phoenix? Because Robert Sarver is a piece of shit who's pretty much already blown all goodwill with that city, making it impossible to get an arena deal. Because, like, oh, my God, Jason Whitlock has a new show where black people hang around with him.
Like LeBron's barbershop show?
Yeah, but apparently they're retooling Speak for Yourself to be Jason Whitlock and Marcus Wiley in a restaurant together. And now it's no longer speak for yourself with Whitlock. It's speak for yourself with Whitlock and Wiley. So they had to add an actual black guy. Instead of a dude from suburban Indianapolis whose entire worldview could be summed up with, well, you know I'm black, but actually black people are wrong about everything.
Is that where he's from?
Suburban Indianapolis.
Wow. I didn't know they had black people there.
One would argue that they don't.
Who aren't athletes?
One would argue that Jason Whitlock does not count.
You know, Dad, I looked up. You can get, like, a really nice house in Indianapolis for cheap. I looked this up one day.
I mean, I could sell you a 3,000-square-foot house where I am for, like, $250,000.
I know, but you don't have an NBA team where you are. That's the difference.
I mean, I'm not far from the Wilmington market, which has college basketball.
That's not good basketball.
They were 2 years ago.
I don't want to watch any college, and your closest NBA team is barely a team. Your owner's hitting people in the head.
Why did that happen?
Why is that a big deal?
It is weird for an owner to strike a player. I mean,
but it's like Jordan.
Yeah, but he's an owner.
It's Jordan rules.
I don't know if, see, that's the other thing. I don't think players around the league think of Michael Jordan as all-time great Michael Jordan. They think of him as an owner. Because they're young enough that, like, most, like, the average player.
Well, did you see the way Monk reacted to it? Like, you didn't seem upset.
Yeah, but I mean, it's.
It's like your granddad hitting you in the back. You know, I think that's probably how, it's like more like he's their dad.
I don't think they think of him that way.
Dude, as their dad. Like old white people with Trump.
Yes, Father Trump.
Yes, Papa. I just don't see why that was a big deal. I don't know.
It
was
just it's weird, but...
It's weird if, like, any other owner does it. When it's Jordan, it's just like, yeah, it's Jordan. Like, it's the weird thing in Charlotte. They're just, like, this weird thing Michael Jordan does that, like, no one really cares about.
It's also like people forget that he's even involved with sports because the Hornets are so far off.
The only reason you remember is because they're the only team with the Air Jordan logo, I think, on their uniforms.
Well, ain't that something? I'm sure somebody cares about that.
They're also the only team that just has all like ACC players for some reason. Except Kemba Walker, I guess. But it does seem like every year they just take a guy from like UNC or something.
Yeah, they're big on just drafting random ACC guys.
Yeah. Your boys, the Hornets. We have more wins, though, than the Carolina Panthers. So.
Man.
There you go. Both your teams, Dan, doing well.
Sure, my teams.
Your boys.
My guys.
Here's my big takeaway from the week in sports. Toronto. Not buying it yet, but I think they're really good. And they just killed Golden State without Kawhi. A healthy Golden State.
Well, you know, Golden State has also moved to that ascended position where it's like, we don't really have to care as much anymore.
Yeah. Well, and like, you've got DeMarcus Cousins maybe getting ready to come back in about a month.
Yeah, like, Steph Curry's out here doing podcasts where he says, you know, the earth is flat. Or the moon. We didn't go to the moon.
Do you buy that? That he really believed that? Or do you
absolutely think I do. He's a dumb. He went to Davidson.
I think he was just fucking around, though.
I don't. I think he's like a lot of people who just watch shit on YouTube and go, yep, that's it. I've educated myself.
Well, who are the tweet? Like, how many months away are we from like a Holocaust denial?
Yeah.
For an NBA player because they let the YouTube autoplay go on too long. Yeah.
And like, YouTube, people blame like them, but it's like, well, this is fucking YouTube. Like, YouTube lets like crazy horseshit be on their platform. It's basically like, what if you could tune on into CNN and just have like the head of ISIS be interviewed for like, it's like a panel show. And it's like, well, yeah, you can't be surprised when the company in charge puts like absolutely zero thought into, hey, let's make sure like bad horseshit isn't on our channel. you know, it's like that. It's like nowadays, like they're saying all these kids are getting exposed to fucked up bullshit on YouTube because YouTube's algorithm is so broken and bullshit that it's like you can easily just make like a Peppa Pig video where like the end of it is just like Peppa Pig screaming fuck over and over again. And then a 3-year-old who was watching Peppa Pig videos that pops up in the out, the algorithm says, well, here's a Peppa Pig video everybody likes.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, documentary. Like, I watch documentaries on YouTube all the time because History Channel doesn't play documentaries anymore. And you can find all of, like, History Channel's old documentaries.
They play they play a little thing called docu-series.
Yeah.
Like American Pickers.
Yeah, that very historical American Pickers. Yes. But you can, like, watch all of the old good History Channel documentaries from the 90s when people actually wanted to watch history TV. But then every now and again, they'll just pop in, like, Nostradamus, was he real? And it's like, no, the answer, he wasn't. Nostradamus was not a thing.
I think really the History Channel might, if we could kind of go back to, like, what's wrong with this country, maybe it's the History Channel.
History Channel.
I mean, all we did was watch stuff about Hitler for, like, 10 years.
Well, that was, no, that's why America's gone to hell in a handbasket, is History Channel stopped doing documentaries about how Hitler was bad. And then all of these, like, middle-aged guys have now decided Hitler was actually good because they're not getting documentaries anymore about how bad he was.
Did you see that guy's post who said, like, all artificial intelligence says Hitler was good?
What?
Yeah, it was some, like, you know, these, like, internet people who think they're really smart because they, like, did well in an IQ test or something?
Oh, and they're, like, they're wannabe disruptors?
Actually, the most logical thing is to be a white supremacist. That's what every smart person believes. And it's like, you know what, maybe, because most smart people fucking suck. Let me say that right now. If you're smart, fuck you. I'd rather you be creative. That's real intelligence. If you ask me, thinking on your feet.
Well, I mean, yeah. Oh, you mean how, like, AI data. Always, like, recognizes, like, it always, like, discriminates against poor people. Or, like, black people, because it's, like, the eye scanners or the face scanners don't work on anyone who's not, like, lily white, because they never tested on anybody who's not lily white.
Well, it's like, you remember that ABC show, Better Off Ted?
Vaguely.
Okay, well, they had a joke about that, where they made, it's like, because he works for a giant, like, evil corporation, essentially, and they made a thing that turns on the lights when you walk into the room. But it can only recognize white people. So, like, instead of addressing the problem, they just assigned a white person to walk around with every black employee. So the lights would turn. Which, like, how close do you think Apple was to being like, well, let's just give every colored person a white person to unlock their phone. You know, like, here's a Russian person, they're gonna follow you around.
It's just like the other thing is that we're constantly finding out that, like, how broken and, like, non-existent AI technology is, that it absolutely does not work at all. And they're constantly, yeah, like, selling us that this is going to be the future of everything, is AI this and tech this and blah, blah, blah.
Well, probably it is going to be the future. It's just not going to work. Because
the people in charge of it are morons, and it won't work.
No, Dan, it will be the future. It's just nothing will work in the future.
Like, instead of having switches, you're supposed to walk in and, like, holler at a machine that has no idea what anybody's voice sounds like, who doesn't have, like, a perfect Midwestern TV pitch to their voice. Like, that's, like, all that Alexa shit does not work if you're Southern. At all.
Yeah. And, you know what, if I'm gonna turn on my lights, just let me do it from my phone. Well, I'll talk.
Like, all of this...
Can I just hit a button on my phone and my lights turn on? You're gonna get rid of the switch, which is apparently a hassle.
To who?
Nobody. But that's where we are in our stage of capitalism, Dan, where it's just like, let's fix a problem that doesn't need fixing.
Because I'm like a strange weirdo, like, who's afraid to hit buttons on the wall because I think they have germs on them.
Well, it's kind of like...
See, I think we're going to end up in a second dark age because, like, all of these tech companies are responsible for, like, innovating the future. And they're all grotesquely incompetent and filled with, like,
they're
idiots.
They're all, like, the 90s equivalent of, like, the Ronco guy who's like, here's a $40 thing that cuts off the crust of your sandwich. And it's like, well, can I use a knife? No. You know,
but they're gonna end up like getting cities to like replace their existing infrastructure with like horseshit Silicon Valley bullshit, and then like all the cities will collapse, and like the power grids will all go down because we handed it to Elon Musk, who you know thinks inventing a subway is a new thing.
That's why, Dan, you always make sure that cities don't have enough money to ever really improve anything. That's the trick to government. It's not to kind of keep things, make them a little bit better, but we can't really improve this a lot because we'll fuck it up.
We cannot radically.
And that's got to be the goal of every.
We do not have the money.
Yes, so that is the goal for every city manager. It's like we could probably fix education, but we will fuck this up even worse if we try. So let's just leave it with no budget. And that's it. Was there nothing else really? World of sports, right?
I don't think so. I think we got it.
There's like the talk of the 18 playoff.
That's a huge deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems inevitable. Like the Big Ten champion has missed it 3 years in a row.
Yeah. Well, that's why I go 6. Power 5, 1 at large.
I think they. See, now, I don't... I think if you go 6, then you have to put, like, a cap on the conference champion. Like, if the conference champion is ranked less than 10th, or ranked less than 5th, then you can't let them in.
No, fuck it. Win your conference.
I mean, I think if you've got, like, a 9-win team that...
Well, you know what? No, they won their conference.
That wins their conference. No, you can't do that.
Why?
Because there will definitely be a team that's way more deserving.
Then that's exciting.
I mean, if you go with
then
six,
all of a sudden this three-loss Kansas State then, team
because like you don't have enough room. For, like to me, expanding past the 4 means nothing unless you do something to make sure the group of 5 can get in.
No, because what happens though if you kill? Because then the conference doesn't matter. Then it's just the death of the conference. That's all that means.
The conference means is being killed by the current system.
Well, that's why my system puts an emphasis on it. You win your conference, you go to the playoffs.
See, I think win your conference, but also be good.
No, because then you might get a bad team that wins it all, and that's fun.
Well, they won't. They'll get killed, and then it'll be annoying.
You never know. Maybe you get a run like the Eagles last year in the NFL playoffs, or like the Eli Manning Giants.
That
a team who just
that
gets
can't
their
happen
shit together.
In college.
Maybe. I mean, Dan...
Because there's no parity.
Let's say, well, no, Dan...
There's no equivalent.
Let's say Auburn like, beats Georgia last year.
There's no parity in college. See, a two-loss team, I don't... It's not that I'm... It's like, what if you get, like, an 8-4 Washington wins the Pac-12, and then you're putting
well,
then
them
what
in? What if they get hot and they win it?
They won't. Like,
well, then they'll lose in the first round to, like,
well, then why,
UCF.
What's the point? Like, UCF won't get in. That's the thing, though. If you guarantee...
No, they won't. They'll be the...
They won't.
They'll be the
they wouldn't.
No, you say at large from the group of 5.
You can't do that, because then Notre Dame's not getting in. And they won't do that.
Join the ACC.
They won't do that. They won't do that.
When you say, then fuck you. That's what you say.
If you go with 6, then you have to say...
You need to... Call it, who needs
they're
to,
not.
Who
but
needs
that's not... You're speaking in, like... You're speaking in, like, what you want to happen and not what will happen. Whatever system gets set up...
business.
They're not going to cut Notre Dame out of it. They're just not.
Why?
Because they won't.
Why?
Because they're they're the biggest television rep. Like they're the number one team in college football television wise.
But who gives a fuck?
They do.
You don't need them.
They do.
Then if Notre Dame needs college football more
they
than college
do, like
football
the people who run college football don't think that way.
But they're dumb.
Well, they're the ones.
This is why I'm in
how
charge.
It works.
Well, this is like, me. I'm in
like
charge.
Whatever system you,
well,
whatever
Notre Dame
system
can join
you,
the ACC.
They won't do that. They will not force Notre
well, then
Dame.
Fuck you. You're out. Have
they won't
the
do
FCS.
That. Like you're saying something that you want to happen, not what could happen.
Well, why can't Notre Dame be the group of 5?
They won't.
No, you say Notre Dame. You're part of the group of 5.
They won't do that. Like that's what you're saying is not going to happen.
It is. Well, if I'm in charge, this is what's happening.
Well,
and
if wishes
you win your conference, you go to the playoffs.
They're not. You can't do that with 6. You can do that with 8. You can't do it with 6.
8. I need, but I want the 1 and 2 to get a bye. I think that should be the reward for being I think if you go undefeated, you should still be rewarded heavily with either a game off or whatever.
If you do, I mean, I'm personally in favor of six, but I just think you have to have a rank cut off to get your automatic bid as a conference champion. You got to be ranked in the top 10 to get the automatic bid.
I mean, that's fine, because usually a conference champion is ranked in the top.
Yeah, it's only going to be to, like, make sure that if some, if the ACC champion, which has happened before, like Wake Forest wins the ACC championship. You know,
like a Pitt upset Clemson.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, they're in the net. They're like, you're putting Pitt in with like a 8-6 record. Like, no.
I think that'd be kind of fun, though.
But you could do that with 8 teams. You can't do it with 6.
Well, okay, because my point is, too, if you do that and like Pitt runs the table, then it just proves how dumb the playoff is.
If you go with 8 teams, you can do it that way.
How about this? How about we just scrap the playoff and not worry about this whole concept of who the national champion is?
You can't do that. You can't do that.
Because it's impossible to know.
You can't do that.
It's stupid.
You're leaving too much money on the table. Also,
tournament football.
Also, the sport is getting more popular with a playoff than it was previously.
You know what? Maybe it is, but it's losing some of its some of the art.
Well, you know what they say about art.
It's forever.
Nobody cares about it.
But you do lose. Like, I don't like the playoff. I think it's... I don't even like the VC. I think you just vote on the best team because it's impossible in college football to ever know who's really the best because you don't play the same teams.
Well, that's why you have a playoff at the end.
That doesn't prove... It's a one-game playoff, though. It proves nothing. So much can happen in one game. One-game playoffs are dumb.
Well, then football's dumb. Like, all of football is stupid.
It is.
Because football at every level is a one-game playoff.
It used to not be, Dan. It used to not be.
It's always... There's never been a best 2 out of 3 for football.
I know. That's... No, we used to do a best out of the whole fucking season. And we just say, you're number one.
Which just ended up being Alabama or Notre Dame every year.
Fine. We just do that.
In the old system, it was just, well, Notre Dame won a lot of games, and I've heard of them.
Yeah, but now we can see all these games. I just think like, now we could do that old system better.
I'm not sure we can. Because the media is shittier and less organized, and anybody can get a job anywhere.
Then let's do it, but whoever gets the most retweets wins the national championship. What if we did a points-based system like NASCAR?
Oh, you mean the most fucked up horse shit in sports?
What if we let a computer just pick the...
We did! And everybody got mad because the thing thought Nebraska was the second best team in the country.
Yeah, who did Nebraska go in over that year?
Miami.
No. Miami beat Nebraska.
No. Oh, yeah. No, Miami got left out. It was Florida State that beat Nebraska, wasn't it?
Oh, and then Nebraska went in 2001?
Who did Miami? Yeah, Miami beat Nebraska, but it was somebody.
Yeah.
Huh.
Was it USC or Auburn?
Hold on. Vamp while I search this.
Here's some more notable people from Mobile, Alabama. Dan, did you know Joseph Paul Franklin is from Mobile?
I have no idea who that is.
You may know him as an American white supremacist serial killer who gained notoriety for a murder spree spanning the late 1970s to the early 1980s. He was a subject of the novel Hunter by white supremacist William L. Pierce. He saw his duty as a white man and did what a responsible son of the race must do. His other nickname was the Racist Killer. He died of lethal injection. He killed 7 of 22 people.
Hmm.
There you go.
Hmm. Okay, it was Miami versus Nebraska.
Okay. So it was number 3. I think that's the USC got screwed.
Okay, I will have an answer for you soon.
Here's, jeez, Serial Killer was awful. I think he might have been a racist.
I think it was Colorado, because that was the thing. Colorado.
Oh, that's when Colorado got hot.
Because Colorado beat Nebraska and won the Big 12 North and won the Big 12.
But they had two losses.
And Nebraska got in over a team that beat them. But,
yes,
like, by all statistical measures, it's basically like what Bill Connolly does with S&P, where it's like, okay, you're asking me to use data to figure out which team was the best. The data says Nebraska was better than Colorado, even though they lost that one game. And that just made people furious. Because part of why the computers thought Nebraska was better was because they beat the crap out of the teams that they beat. And they're like, well, you're just encouraging people to run up the score. Instead of being like, well, no, if a good team plays a bad team, they should beat them up pretty bad. Like, yeah, that's just the way life works. But they just, it just made people angry. And so that's why after that year of the BCS, they changed the formula to where it could not consider how badly you beat a team. So basically, if you beat a team 100-0 or you beat them 2-0, as far as the computers, figured, it was the exact same. Which is definitely not going to lead to incorrect results ever. No, sir.
And, ooh, you know what else happened, Dan, that year?
9/11.
And Maryland went 10-2.
Yep, that was the year that they won the ACC, and then everybody, Maryland ended up spending a ton of money because they thought they were going to do that every year from then on.
Yeah.
They also got slaughtered, absolutely slaughtered by Florida that year in what ended up being Spurrier's last game at Florida.
Who, I think Oregon, though, was the team who got screwed.
Oregon had a very good year, yes.
Yeah, that was Joey Harrington. Yeah.
That was the Heisman billboard year.
Yes. Joey Heisman. That's it. So next week, well, hopefully, when is Christmas?
Christmas is on a Tuesday, I believe.
How many weeks away are we from that?
2 weeks, I believe. Not this Tuesday, but the next.
Okay, so next week. Okay. Next week, then, we'll be back to finish up the bowl preview. And then we might take the week of Christmas off.
Yeah.
Let you know then.
You know.
We'll have to come right back to preview the playoff games. So maybe we'll do that next week as well.
We'll preview the bowls that we need to get to, and then we'll take it, you know, enjoy Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, I only get like 2 days off, so.
Sure. Well, this is the one part of the year where I get a vacation because my boss is a Christmas fanatic. He absolutely adores Christmas to his very soul.
My atheist professor boss won't let me celebrate Christmas.
That sounds about right.
But God's not dead to me, Dan. My good friend Kirk Cameron's going to change all of this. Is that the plot of those movies?
I think so.
Okay. Is Kevin Sorbo the atheist professor?
I don't know. Isn't that basically Marine Todd, the movie?
I think so. They made like 4 of them, though.
I mean, there's a lot of like hammy 90s soap opera type actors. And like a thing that doesn't exist anymore, I don't think. Do they still have like shows that just play in syndication? That aren't judge shows or game shows?
Yeah, I don't think so. Unless there's like a Access Hollywood.
Well, yeah, and like the hard copy
your TMZ or what? Yeah, I don't think they're really.
But they don't do like scripted. No, there aren't. Like scripted, yeah. Writers and actors on a. Jesus, Vicki Lawrence looks good. She's like 80 years old. She looks fantastic. Anyway.
Watch your mama's.
Yeah, she just a commercial just came on with her advertising some show she's on. But
I think all those shows are just on TV Land now.
Yeah, but you don't have like Baywatch, which was a huge show when we were kids. Of like,
Yeah, Hercules, Xena Warrior Princess.
Yeah, those were like massive shows that were syndicated.
The Next Generation was a syndicated.
Well, and what was the Scott Bakula Star Trek show? Was that on UPN and not syndicated?
No. Voyager?
Voyager was the one with the lady, wasn't it?
Scott Bakula was on Quantum Leap.
That was in the 80s. Like, Scott Bakula was on a, he had a Star Trek.
Deep Space Nine. There's the only, I don't know another one. There's a fourth?
Let me see.
Star Trek A New Hope.
That's Star Wars, and we're going to get letters now.
Before we get out of here, though, quick thing. Did you know they're opening up a Star Wars hotel?
Why not? Fucking...
in Orlando.
These fucking nerds will constantly complain about how they don't like any of the movies, and then they'll fucking buy every single thing that has Star Wars on it.
Well, I didn't like The Last Jedi, but I will definitely...
What are you, some kind of idiot? That was the best Star Wars movie.
What a good movie. The Latin sucked.
It was literally my favorite Star Wars movie out of all of them.
It was awful.
I loved it.
The fucking main plot was, will the ship run out of gas?
Yeah. It was good. No, the main plot is that it was a Western. It was basically Shane, only it was Space Shane. And it was like a whole movie about a young person begging her hero to come out, to put the guns on one more time. Come back, Shane. Come back. And everybody's like, no, you don't want to get this guy pissed off. You really don't want this guy to show back up again. You don't want to make that guy mad. Let him stay hidden. You don't want to get him back up and running. And then bang, they get him back up and running, and he beats the whole army like single-handedly.
Yeah, it sucked.
The old gunslinger puts on the guns one last time.
Awful movie.
It was fantastic. There was not a single second of that movie I didn't enjoy.
Oh, it was awful. So bad.
It was fantastic. It was the best movie of the year.
Was that last year?
It was better than every single Star Wars movie combined.
It was not better than Empire.
It was a lot better than Empire. Empire's the most overrated movie.
No, Empire's
because the secret of all Star Wars movies is that they're all secretly shitty. But Empire's the one they try to claim to you is like really good, and it's just as shitty as the rest of them.
No, because it's good. It was directed by a real director.
It's boring.
That's why it's good.
It's good because it's not fun to watch.
You don't understand because you're not intelligent. You're not part of the intelligence.
Like half of that movie is just sitting in a conference room somewhere where Lando Calrissian like pours somebody some drinks. Piss off.
That's the best drama.
And like Luke Skywalker's just walking around a swamp with his ass out. Like who cares?
With the Muppet, there's a Muppet.
Who cares?
Han Solo being kind of
Carrie
creepy.
Bradshaw is wearing jeans with a suit over the top of it.
It owned. Carrie Bradshaw.
Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City is wearing jeans with a suit over it.
I don't know which version of Star Wars you saw.
Also, Star Wars. The best of the first three is Return of the Jedi.
No, it's not. It's the worst.
It's best. It's best.
Worst. People are always.
I love Ewoks. I love them. I love how adorable they are.
Sucked. Star Wars. You know what was? What was the other bad movie that came out that year? Was that Steven Spielberg shit?
There's a lot of shitty
stuff. Ready Player One.
That was this year.
Oh, that was goddamn. Someone told me Black Panther came out this year.
It did. It came out in February, right?
I know. I was like, that came out like 3 years ago. Oh, every fucking day feels like a month.
Also, we've had way too many fucking movies that it's basically just somebody in CG. Can I admit something now? Like, now that, like, the Democrats have taken back the House? I didn't like Black Panther.
It wasn't good.
Like, the whole last 20 minutes was just a blur of CGI nonsense.
Yeah, that sucked. I did like the world building, though.
I liked the world building. I liked the characters. I liked the general theme of the story. It's just, I did not give a shit about, like, the whole end of the whole movie where you get, like, hey, we're fighting each other and this is going to settle this score. And it's like, who gives a shit? Because it's just nothing but CGI. And I can't even tell which one's the good one.
Fucking, you sympathize with the fucking villain.
Well, that's not the worst thing in the world.
Like to the point where you're rooting for him, and it's like, you went too far because he was a much
literally during that actor. Last fight, because they're both wearing Black Panther suits. One of them's like a slightly different, like one of them I think was bluish or something or purpley. Yeah. I could not tell which one was which because they're in the same fucking costume. They're both dressed as Black Panther, so which is the good one? I don't know. All I see is a bunch of like lasers and computers.
They all just look alike.
All the Black Panthers look alike. All I know is I'm getting ready for Doctor Strange 2. That's a good movie with white people and Asians who are subservient to the white people, the way movies should be.
I can't wait to everyone to pretend like Captain Marvel's good, and then for the Avengers movie just to be really good.
Yeah, who gives a shit about Captain Marvel? They've been trying to make Captain Marvel happen for like 35 years, ever since they bought that trademark off the after DC let it lapse out of spite for the original Captain Marvel character. And nobody has ever given a shit about Captain Marvel. They have tried everything.
I mean, I'll probably go see it, though.
It won't be as good as Ant-Man and the Wasp, let me tell you.
No.
Best Marvel movies are Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, and Ant-Man and the Wasp. And that is a fact.
It won't be as good as, what about Blade?
That's not a Marvel movie. That's pre-Disney.
It literally says Marvel.
Does not count. It's not a Marvel movie unless Disney made it.
And Star Wars is a Marvel movie.
I guess it is. I want to see Luke Skywalker meet Wolverine.
When are they doing that?
I want to see the crossover event.
Like, how many, like, those movies have to tank until they're just like, fuck it, we're going to do
this. If they have, like, three box office bombs in a row, then that just breaks
Avengers
seal.
And Star Wars tank. Yeah.
Like, that's just like the emergency glass.
They just have the script. They have like the script in like a glass case.
It's like break this if emergency. And it's just, all right, it's time to do the Spider-Man meets Boba Fett. Let's do it.
If stock dips below $75. Iron Man meets Mickey.
Nah, I think this is the end of Iron Man, isn't it? Because Robert Downey Jr. seems like he's not.
We're gonna do a remake of Song of the South.
Starring Robert Downey Jr.
in Blackfoot.
From Tropic Thunder.
I'd watch that.
I don't know what's going on Fox right now, but I'm just watching Ryan Reynolds with like a plastic bottle of liquor talking to Kurt Manafree. Or Michael Strahan. That's Michael Strahan.
That's Thursday Night Football, baby.
But it's like shitty plastic bottle, I think vodka.
I love how like Fox was doing pretty well with the Thursday game ratings, and like they have a matchup that like people probably want to see this week. And they're like, well, let's just keep cutting to like bullshit that no one cares about. It's like how Monday Night Football this year is a concert at halftime. Who the fuck cares? I don't want to watch a musical performance. I'm watching football. I don't want to watch Ryan Reynolds. Promote what? Deadpool recut? No thanks.
Oh, is it going to be Deadpool 2, but actually good this time?
No, it's Deadpool 2, but rated PG-13.
Who gives a shit about that?
Deadpool 2 was good.
Deadpool 2 blew. The only good thing about it was Rob Delaney showing up in his sweater and jumping out of the plane with a parachute and then everybody dying.
Were you drunk, though?
No, that movie was ass.
If you were drunk, though, you might have liked it. That's the key to end all these movies. You can't go in sober. That's why Venom was the best movie of the year.
I did love Venom. I loved Venom.
Wasn't it great?
I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. And the first 30 minutes are like the worst movie you've ever seen in your life. And you're like, oh my god, yes. I'm watching Catwoman. This is so terrible. And then once he actually bonds with that symbiote and it becomes Tom Hardy presents How to Save a Terrible Movie. Behold.
Well, you know, like that lobster scene, he improv'd that.
Of course he did.
He jumps in the lobster tank.
Yeah.
They were just filming at the restaurant and he saw the tank and was like, I'm just going to jump in it.
Like,
wasn't in the script at all.
Like, every, like, all of the talking back and forth, the interplay with each other was brilliant. Like, it's, I just suggest anybody, if you ever want to be an actor and your goal is, I want to be one of those people that, I want to be one of those actors where people say, you know what? He saved that movie. Watch Venom. That's how you do it. That Nick Cage watched that movie and tipped his hat and went, respect.
And let's see if he can save the second one.
I just assumed that, he was pissed off when the movie was coming out that the way it was cut, because he was like, man, they cut all of this great stuff I did, and I want to see a director's cut of that movie with all of, like, the Tom Hardy Venom interplay with each
yes.
other.
Yes. Release the Hardy cut.
Release the Hardy cut. But I assume if they want to get Tom Hardy back to do another one, they're going to have to, like, bend over backwards for him the way they, you know, the way Deadpool kind of had to bend over backwards for Ryan Reynolds in the sequel. They basically let him do, like, run the show for that sequel. I assume they're going to have to do the same thing with Tom Hardy and Venom. And that means I think the sequel to Venom will be the best movie ever made. Because yes. it will literally just be 2 hours of this buddy cop movie of two insane people who are in the same head.
I can't wait to watch Venom again. But yeah, that's it for me.
That's it for me. And on that note, fuck the Queen. Fuck Brexit. Fuck Theresa May. Fuck Ole Miss. And play the music, Jason.